Hi, I'm Richard Cuddy. Welcome to this latest edition of Inside MLCSU. This is the second episode to deal with the Clive Treacy Independent Report. And again, I'm joined by Beverly Dawkins OBE, the Independent Chair of the Review, Hal Shirelli from MLCSU, and our very special guest, Elaine Clark, Clive Treacy's sister. Clive died on January the 31st, 2017, at a treatment centre in Nottinghamshire. The police were called, as is the case with all sudden and unexpected deaths. And then there was an autopsy, and the autopsy result was something of a bombshell to the family, wasn't it, Elaine?
Yes, that's right. It was such a bombshell, and I make no exaggeration in making this statement. It left us questioning whether the documentation that our parents receive was actually in regards to Clive and his loss, given the discrepancies that were written and recorded about the individual themselves.
Because on the night he died, Clive had seizures. We don't know how many seizures, do we, due to his epilepsy. Was that mentioned anywhere in the report?
No, not in the autopsy documentation. The pathology guidelines were not followed in Clive's death. The pathologist failed to use all practice and policy he should have done, and that he completely excluded epilepsy as a contributing factor to Clive's death. He highlighted it in box two, that he was informed that the staff said he had a seizure earlier, but he had no concerns.
In the first episode, we talked about something called diagnostic overshadowing, which almost meant that everything that happened in Clive's life was put down to epilepsy. In death, it was almost like that was put into reverse, that it wasn't even a contributory factor, which just seems amazing. So I just want to introduce an acronym into the conversation that Beverly mentioned briefly in episode one, which is SUDEP, which is spelled S-U-D-E-P. Could you tell us a bit about that, Beverly?
So, as part of the review, we began to look at SUDEP, so sudden death in epilepsy. And we were very ably assisted by an organisation called SUDEP Action. And so we began to understand the risks that someone like Clive might face because of his epilepsy, but also how preventable sudden death is. In, I think it was something like at least 42% of cases could have been prevented by swifter action and kind of better care. And so when we began to talk to Elaine about the autopsy report and the inquest, we began to just examine, you know, what the relationship between that last seizure and his cardiac arrest could be. And we took advice from a cardiologist as well, a specialist epilepsy nursing, to understand that relationship, and concluded actually that you couldn't dismiss epilepsy as a cause of death in the way that it had been. And as Elaine said, we then found that there were pathology guidelines that might have meant that a closer look would have been taken at that, but these hadn't been followed.
Just over a year after Clive's death, there was an inquest. I've attended inquests which have barely lasted 5 minutes. Clive's lasted 5 days and was with a jury. That's very, very unusual. But you must have campaigned long and hard to make sure we got that kind of inquest.
I understood that Clive's death should trigger an Article 2 inquest, which would subsequently bring the jury and would bring a wider scope into the circumstances leading up to his loss. So imminently, within 4 days of Clive's death, and I'll never understand to this day how that was possible, I really don't, is that I wrote to the Nottingham Coroner's Court, and I wrote to the coroner identified to be assigned to Clive's inquest, and we laid out some very clear concerns in some very large sheets of documents. And it was at that point that we understood we were engaging an Article 2 inquest by the information that not only that she'd retained, but we had questioned and provided all concerns.
So it was completely down to the family having to navigate through a very complex legal process.
Yes.
So that inquest did take place in January 2018, but an inquest is fairly limited in what it can do. It doesn't apportion blame. All it can do is say, who is the person who died, where did they die, when did they die, and what was the cause of their death. Okay. Can you just talk us through, first of all, who had to give evidence during those 5 days?
Yes, of course. Clive did have a lawyer at the time. We were incredibly fortunate. I cannot imagine having to seek that legal support in a different position than we were in, because I'm aware of the challenges that faces families. So we kind of inherited Clive's legal team that were willing to support us during the inquest process.
So after 3 years of campaigning, NHS England did commission the review. They commissioned MLCSU to carry out the review, and Beverley was appointed as the independent chair. But what seems to me, as a layperson, very unusual is that actually it was the family who decided, almost decided the terms of reference to the review.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, I think, that is, I'm very grateful to these guys as well as everybody else involved, and especially are all still involved, because it wasn't negotiable. I'd spent my entire adult life understanding, supporting and helping professionals as well as my parents, as well as Clive. So everything that we did was always to help Clive have a good day by just trying to, you know, help everybody in that day. So absolutely. And I knew what to expect as a family with the inquest process. Let me be very honest about that. It drove me further on that every process and vessel that is placed in front of families was utilised, used and understood had to be used. And still we came to a conclusion where we were left with unanswered questions. It was a condition of the families that we would engage if we were involved. That's it. Because Clive's entire adult life and our lives, despite us being respectful, firm, but clear and supportive, it wasn't just Clive excluded from the journey, it was the entire family.
But now you've got the team assembled that you think is really going to uncover what happened to Clive. Beverley, you were appointed independent chair. Can you just give us a bit about your background?
Yeah, so I generally don't do independent chairing or write investigation reports, but my name was put forward by a colleague, and I came to that moment, if you like, with a background in campaigning about health inequalities, having written some campaign reports about avoidable deaths, and also many years of advocacy for families trying to navigate investigations, reviews and inquests. I'd sat in many inquests and supported people. And I'd actually got quite a strong sense of anger by that point about how hard it was for families to get the answers to the questions they needed. And so when I met Elaine, I wasn't sure that I was going to do the review, actually, because I was worried that I'd end up colluding, if you like, with a process that I wasn't comfortable with. So I set out some ground rules, didn't I, in interview number one, which I thought might, you know, see me off, actually. But I was very struck by the commitments of Midlands NHS team, who seemed to be equally committed at that point to do this with transparency and integrity and honesty. And so I decided to take my chances and do it.
And Hafshat, MLCSU, they act as consultants to the NHS, yep, very specialist services. Can you tell us how you and your team got involved?
Yeah, so at that point, we'd already been providing specialist support to learning disability, autism and mental health transformation in the Midlands. And we'd done quite a lot of work with the Midlands team, so we had a really good relationship with them. And they valued, I suppose, our expertise, not because absolutely as a CSU we've got the capabilities to undertake independent reviews. We've done those for many years. We've got the analytical skills. We've got lots of the skills, the research skills, to be able to do this review. But what's really important and really important for our service is the marriage between having that technical capability to do an independent, objective review, a long review, a complex review, and understand the processes it takes. So we had to understand all of the different ways in which independent investigations might unfold. But we brought to that table an understanding of working with learning disability services, having lived experience, working alongside Elaine. And that's why I think the marriage between Elaine, myself and Beverly was so unique. I think, you know, actually any service within CSU, we've got lots of them that have got really expert credentials, could have done an independent review. And I think that has been groundbreaking, and it is, I hope that comes out in the report.
Still to come in the next episode.
I think we all know what drives me. Grief, anger before. Just the mere fact that it isn't just for Mum and Dad and Clive. It's for all Clives that are still out there. It's for all Mum and Dads of Clives.
If you would like to know more about Midlands and Lancashire Commissioning Support Unit, go to our website, mrcsu.co.uk.